This is WCQS. I'm David Horand. I'm visiting with Asheville Middle School teacher Chris Gable. Our conversation was recorded in his classroom just minutes after his students were dismissed for the day. Thanks very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
After 10 years of teaching in the Asheville school system, you have announced you are leaving Asheville. Why?
Well, it's become financially untenable to stay, and it's not something that I want to do. It's something that I have to do for my family.
It's been reported that you qualify for Medicaid and food stamps. Is that actually true?
That is correct. My kids are on Medicaid, and we're not on food stamps, but we get what's called WIC food assistance.
Is it more than pay and benefits?
Yeah. I mean, recently there have been a series of decisions made that just seem aimed at teachers. They have now told us that they'll be taking master's pay. We earn a very small amount extra each month if you go to the trouble of getting a master's. However, they just took that away. They also called us into a meeting the other day and explained that we would be losing tenure. The financial end of it has been the most difficult part in terms of the pay and the benefits. The health benefits are quite shoddy, and myself and several other people that I know in this building have thousands of dollars of debt with the insurance that we have. So yes, there are a variety of factors that play into it. Back when they froze our pay, I think it was 2008, shortly thereafter, they took 1% retroactively from us, and then proceeded to add 5 school days to the year and took work days that we had, which were used to catch up because we can't really keep up with what they ask us to do. And so we had 4 days built into the school year where we could, you know, get caught up with grading and so forth. And they took those away as well.
Is the profession of teaching undervalued in the state of North Carolina, in your opinion?
It's not by its people. It's not by its students, it's not by its teachers and its families. Unfortunately, it does seem to be of very little value to our state legislators and our governor. They don't really invest in it. They have frozen pay that was already very low. When I came here, I believe we were 43rd in the union, and we're now close to the very bottom. Because our pay has been frozen so long. I was shocked when I realized how much an average school pays in comparison to what we make. For instance, in Ohio, where I'm moving, Ohio's not a top 10 state for teacher pay. It's, I believe, somewhere in the top 20. And I was shocked to find out that I would make nearly double what I make here in terms of my salary. And that instead of paying $500 or $600 for below average health insurance for my family, I would be paying somewhere between $100 or $150 for good insurance. So it was really an eye opener for me when I realized, you know, what I'm worth in just an average state compared to how North Carolina invests in their teachers.
Why did you choose to become a teacher?
I chose to become a teacher because I feel a duty, and I think a lot of teachers feel a duty to help our communities and our society at large grow and flourish, and that only happens with an educated citizenry. And you can't have a functioning democracy without an informed citizenry. And that's something that only happens through dedication to educating young people. And so that's why I got in. I really felt a duty to serve. You know, teachers know that they're not gonna get rich when they get into it, but they do it anyway. And they work very long hours, and they do so because they care.
Have you always been a social studies and language arts teacher?
Yes, I started here 10 years ago teaching social studies and language arts, and have done nothing but.
What do you love about it?
I love being able to connect what schools are supposed to teach to what students see as relevant. And I take great pains in trying to help students to see the value in what they're learning and be able to actually apply it. And when you get them to buy in, when you get them to really take ownership over their learning and see the value in their learning, they practically teach themselves. It really is an art to do that, and it doesn't come easily. It took me a while to really learn how to do this well. But that's what I love. I love seeing students that have bought in, that see the value, and excel because they care.
What's most tedious or challenging about teaching, especially in the middle school years?
I would say it's not so much the teaching or the kids. I don't think I'm alone in saying that when we feel pressure and frustration and stress, it's not the kids. It's all of the things that surround teaching, all of the demands that are put on us that are marginally related to teaching. There are times when we're asked to do so many extraneous things that actual planning of lessons and teaching and grading papers almost becomes an afterthought. That we're just asked to do more than we can possibly do. And I learned early on in my career that a veteran teacher administrator told me one day, he said, "Don't you know?" He said, "You're never going to be caught up." He said, "It's just varying degrees of being behind." So the real trick is learning how to prioritize what to do first.
So what sorts of things are you asked to do outside the classroom that have little or next to nothing to do with actual teaching?
Well, there are, I can think of things that leap to mind when I tell my friends up north who are in Union States. They're always shocked when I tell them things like, "Well, we receipt money. We're basically little mini bookkeepers." And they say, "You handle money?" I said, "Well, yeah, that's one of the things that we're asked to do." That certainly isn't the only thing. We are asked to be gym teachers now. You know, we have to plan physical activities for the kids every day. We're asked to do a lot of things that are, related to training and a lot of meetings, a lot of things that we're pulled into and asked to do because someone somewhere thought that it was something that we needed. And oftentimes I know teachers feel frustration because they don't really see the relevance of some of the meetings and trainings that we're pulled into because they don't really necessarily connect. That's not true of all of those things, all of the meetings or trainings or paperwork that we're asked to do, but for a large portion of it is. And we really feel, I know a lot of us feel like we've paid our dues, we've been trained, we've gone to school, we spent years in the classroom, we know what to do, and the people in this building are amazing and they know how to do it well. But it's almost as if the state acts like we just walked in off the street. And so there's constant demand to be, trained in this or that. And oftentimes it's something that we sit and realize, well, we already do this, we know to do this, but someone repackaged it and called it something with an acronym, and now we have to go learn it again. So that part of it's frustrating.
Tell me what you think of the representation you have through the North Carolina Association of Educators.
Well, I really respect what they're doing. Sadly, though, the NCAE is basically a neutered version of a union. They really have no kind of leverage or power. They try to stand up for teachers in this state, but the way the laws are written, with it being a right-to-work state, there's no way for teachers to really have any kind of leverage or say in what we're asked to do or the demands that are put on us, or our pay, for that matter.
Critics of public education, including many members in the General Assembly, say it's too difficult to rid the system of teachers who are underperforming. What do you say to that?
You know, I've seen many teachers leave this profession who had, you know, quote, tenure. They call it career status here. And it did not seem really all that difficult for them to get pushed out the door. There are ways of putting pressure on teachers to make their life miserable enough that they will leave. I don't see having to get rid of, you know, the dead weight, so to speak, as a really high priority. I'm not saying that there are teachers that perhaps would be better suited in other professions. I guess, you know, they're out there. But the overwhelming majority of people in this building are just incredible teachers. And if they were left to just teach, and if they were valued and paid what they're worth and given decent health benefits, they could really soar. They could really do what needs to be done well. But unfortunately, they feel disrespected and underpaid and not valued. So, you know, in terms of getting rid of bad teachers, I just don't see that as the root of, you know, what's wrong with education. I mean, people want to point the finger that direction, and they want to point the finger at unions and say, well, you know, unions keep state legislators from, or state school districts from, getting rid of bad teachers. However, you know, I really just don't see that as an issue.
Did you attend public schools as a kid?
I did. And it had a great effect on me. It actually had, you know, a big part in me getting into teaching.
You have children of your own. Describe your family life.
Well, to say it's hectic is an understatement. I spend a lot of time, you know, just trying to be a dad and a father. I have three beautiful children. I have a 5-year-old, Mac, and I have 2-year-old twins, Mason and Ruby. And they're beautiful children. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of teachers feel the demand from work, you know, and don't spend nearly enough time with their families. One of the things that really brought it home for me is recently my 2-year-old son looked up at my wife one evening and said, "Daddy be home today, Mama?" And it made me realize, you know, even my 2-year-old was connecting that, hey, Daddy's not really here very much. And that's not solely due to teaching. A big part of that is I do what a lot of teachers have to do, which is work outside of school. I had to, by necessity, start a window cleaning business in order just to keep up, just to make ends meet. And that requires that I work after school during the week and on the weekends. And so my family doesn't see a lot of me. Now it's gotten to the point with the pay freeze having gone on so long that even working the extra hours, it's not enough to keep up.
If you don't mind, how much after 10 years are you paid to teach in the Asheville school system?
I make $38,000 and some change, and that's with 10 years and a master's degree. When I looked around up north, by contrast, with 10 years and a master's degree, I looked at 10 different school districts around Columbus, Ohio, and they all paid somewhere between $65,000 and $70,000 a year.
Is the move more about family than money? It's my understanding that you have extended family in Ohio.
Mm-hmm. I do have family in Ohio, and certainly, you know, having family support is, you know, a big advantage. However, money is family. Money means time. Money means you don't have the stresses of having to pay the bills all the time, around the clock, every day. And so it gives you the time to be a good father and be a good husband.
Do you have a job lined up in Ohio?
I do not. And The reason for that is I've really tried to put this off for a long time. I don't want to leave this community. I love it here in North Carolina, and I especially love Asheville. It's a beautiful community full of beautiful people, and the last thing I want is to leave here. And so I've put it off and put it off to the point where it's created so much pressure and so much stress that finally one day we just said, okay, this is going to have to be like pulling a Band-Aid off. We're just going to have to jump. And so we started putting the wheels in motion. So what I'll do is, you know, substitute up north, which, you know, substitutes up north make about what I make here. And I'll probably, you know, clean some windows on the side until I land a permanent position.
Chris Gable is a middle school teacher at Asheville Middle School. His last day on the job will be the 26th of this month, I do believe.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.